Well, if you would like to turn in your Bibles or in the Pew Bibles to page 1026 or Luke chapter 15, that's what we're going to look at. I'm going to turn there myself. And last night I was on the internet, and I was kind of curious as to how many people live on the third rock from the sun. And it came out with 7.3 billion people are on this planet. And so far this year, 76 million births have taken place and 31 million deaths. So it's kind of a 2-to-1 ratio almost between birth and death. Yet God cares for every single individual on this planet. He wants all them to come to repentance and to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can see the work throughout the world where the gospel is being preached. And this morning, in looking at Luke chapter 15, a section I think most of us know quite well, it's amazing how God speaks to mankind. In looking at the Lord Jesus and him speaking in parables, it's kind of almost like a little bedtime story. You have this simplistic little story, yet it has a heavenly meaning to it. And so in chapter 14, the chapter that precedes this, we see how God talks with man in these simple terms. And he speaks of heaven as being compared to a wedding party, and to get the best seat at the wedding party, you should take the worst seat, basically. By humbling yourself, you will be instead getting the greatest spot. And then it continues on, and he compares it now to a great feast in chapter 14. And imagine having a meal and you prepare it all and then nobody's showing up for it. And that's what it's kind of saying here. So he sends out his servant to the ones that were invited. And he tries to have them come along, and they all have all these excuses. You know, I can't go for this reason or that reason. So he says, you know what? Just go out into the highways and the hedges and invite and compel anybody to come on into this feast. And that's what the gospel work throughout the world is, going out and inviting all the Gentiles of the world as well as the Jews to come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is the worst thing that you could ever do? We might think of some horrible sins, murder, molesting children, all these things. But if Tim Horn were here this morning, he would say to you that he has seen those people who have done things such as murder and rape and all these other things leave that life, turn from it with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're forgiven. So even of those really horrible sins, there's forgiveness. So what is the most horrible sin that a person could commit? It would be to reject the free will offering of forgiveness of your sins in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to see, as we look at this scenario that's happening here, there's two people that he's talking to, two different people, the Pharisees and then the tax collectors. So let's just start reading chapter 15, verse 1. Then all the tax collectors and all the sinners drew near to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, so this parable is being spoken to the tax collectors and sinners, but also the Pharisees. "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep, which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." So we got 99-1 odds here. But God is concerned in this scenario of this one lost one in comparison to the other 99, right down to the one individual. And let's go on from here. Now it's going to go down into a 10-to-1 ratio. "Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost." Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Care for that one out of the ten. And now we're into the next section where it's one out of two. So we have the parable. It's called often the parable of the lost son. I think it's much better titled the parable of the loving father. Then he said, "A certain man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me.' So he divided them his livelihood, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I will perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against you and heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him and said, and the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry. Now, the older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.' But he was very angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.'" And so you can see who he's reaching out to here. Not only is he reaching out to the tax collectors and sinners, he's reaching out to those Pharisees too. And that's that portion that you see there of this other brother who doesn't want to go into the house. He's religious and stuck in his religious state, does not want to accept what the Lord Jesus has to offer him. And that is the greatest sin that could ever be committed, is to refuse God. You know, God, one of his characteristics is that he is all-knowing. And unfortunately, if you reject the offer that he has of the Son of God and being put in your place and mine and paying the price for your sins, and you reject that offer and say, "No thanks, I don't want it," there's only one thing that can happen, is that you'll be in the place where God doesn't know you. He'll say, "Go away from me, I never knew you." And that's a terrible place to be. And I don't know anyone who's here this morning that doesn't have a personal relationship with a God who loves you so like this. But I would beg of you now, to consider this short little talk that we've had here today and how much God loves each one of us, and he's given the Lord Jesus Christ as that payment for our sins, and you wouldn't want to reject that wonderful offer. I'm going to close in prayer, and then we'll start our next portion just praying for Tim Horn and the work in Africa. Well, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love. Thank you how you put these simple little stories together of everyday things, yet there's a deeper meaning for those who want to look into these things. And that is that you have done all that you can do for mankind by sending the Lord Jesus to die in our place, and that this offer is open to all to come and know you through him. As our brother Joe Reese said long ago, that the Father does not receive sinners. We have to come through the work in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ to come to the Father. And if there's anyone here today that has not made that decision in their life, such a decision as it is, Mark has already mentioned that we don't even know what's going to happen in the next half hour, let alone for eternity. So we would beg anyone today who hasn't come to know him as Savior that today you would go and ask for the forgiveness of your sins and receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your life as Lord and Savior. And we pray this in his most blessed name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to have two brothers pray for Tim and Lil Horn and the work that they do with the prison ministries and the health situation, especially because we don't really know what caused this with Tim. We would pray for wisdom in the health community that he's working with to find out what it is. We'd pray for the Lord to remove this from his life, if that would be his will. And then also for Mark and the work that we've seen in Africa and the needs that are there. And we'll also add to this camp. Camp's just starting. People are driving people to camp tonight, and there's children that have already been and such, and there's camps going on all over, and it's such a wonderful time when you get that little alone time to spend with children and present the gospel in these camps that are going on. So I'll close in prayer, and then our time is over here, and like I say, two brethren to lift up these petitions to the Lord now as well.